Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of 2 Samuel, and today we'll be reading the first half of chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 22. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was lying down. And she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber, that I may eat it from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes that she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where would I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this is wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her." Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore, and she laid her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. And her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar lived, a desolate woman, in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Today's passage is a harrowing one. And in my opinion, it's one of the most revealing passages when it comes to the nature of sin. We're told of this account of three of David's children, Amnon, Absalom, and Tamar. And we're told that Amnon grew to love Tamar, at least so he thought. He desired her so much that he was tormented by his feelings, and because of this, he devised a sinister plan to trick her into a vulnerable situation. Long story short, Tamar resists, and Amnon forces himself on her. Tamar then tells her brother Absalom, who hated Amnon for what he did to his sister. David also eventually finds out, and he is also angry. Now, at first glance, our passage paints Amnon as the villain, and for good reason. The wickedness in Amnon's heart festered and grew to such grotesque proportions that he commits a heinous crime to satisfy his own lustful desires. And I don't want to downplay Amnon's sin, but something I do want to point out is that actually, he's not the only one in our passage that sins. This account is chock full of wickedness and sin. Every person mentioned in our passage is guilty besides Tamar. Amnon is guilty of indulging his sinful desires and attacking his own half-sister. Jonadab, Amnon's friend, is guilty of his wicked scheming and being accomplice to Amnon's crime. But Absalom was also guilty. When he finds out about what Amnon did to Tamar, Absalom doesn't confront Amnon or go to his father David or take any sort of appropriate action. Instead, he bides his time and seeks an opportunity to take revenge against Amnon, his own way, something we'll read about tomorrow. Absalom wanted to be judge, jury, and executioner the way that he saw fit, and to punish Amnon with his own hands out of wrath and fury, rather than seek justice. And David was also guilty. He didn't exactly do anything to be sinful, but it's what he didn't do. We're told that David was angry when he heard these things, and yet he didn't do anything in response. He didn't punish Amnon, and he isn't recorded to have cared for Tamar in any way. In fact, David's inaction is what opened the door for Absalom to act, and it can be argued that David's absentee parenting was a chronic sin, as Tamar chose to confide in Absalom rather than her own father. I think that tells us something. Save for Tamar, each and every person involved in this terrible situation was guilty of their own wickedness. Amnon decided to listen to his heart and his emotions. Jonadab wanted to help his friend. Absalom sought to avenge his sister's grief, and David likely wanted to show kindness and grace. All of these things they did because it felt right in their own eyes. And yet, it was wicked. These men might not have even considered their actions to be sinful, and yet it's plain to see for us just how off the deep end they were. When I read this passage, it's crazy how much these people seem like caricatures, going far beyond what would be sensible action in this sequence of events, and instead turning into something quite horrifying. For us, often when we talk about the forgiveness of our sins, I think we like to whitewash what that exactly means. When we say that Jesus died so that our sins are forgiven, it wasn't just a supplementary measure. We weren't almost good enough, and the cross was just one helpful push to get us into the good zone once and for all. No, we see in today's passage the true sin condition, the total wickedness of sin that causes people to become wrathful, lustful, and complacent, doing whatever is right in their own eyes. We see a reflection of ourselves. Should we find ourselves left to our own righteousness? And Jesus died for all that mess. His sacrifice was the only thing powerful enough to overcome the magnitude of our wickedness. I hope you and I can remember just how bad we are and just how good God is. If we minimize the effect of the cross in our lives, then we minimize the effect that grace has on our reality. It's only when we truly understand the magnitude of Christ's sacrifice that we can truly live our lives in response to it. I don't want us to beat around the bush here. What we see in Amnon, in Absalom, in David, in Jonadab, it's a reflection of our wickedness. But it's because we understand the depths of our depravity that we can truly appreciate and be in awe of and be so thankful for all that God did for us. So brothers and sisters, I pray that this morning that we can walk in that truth, that we not just sugarcoat and whitewash what the gospel says, but instead we fully embrace just how saved we are. Let's pray. Lord, this is a heavy text, but the message is one of hope. It shows us that your grace is applicable even to this level of wickedness. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, that we never feel too far from you. At the same time, I pray that we recognize sin, that we recognize the depths of sin that we've been rescued from. I pray that we appreciate it and that we live in thankfulness to it, to all that you've done for us on the cross. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.